Parliament resumed on Tuesday at 2 p.m. following a four-week adjournment. After the Clerk of the House presented a number of reports and papers, it was on to question time.
The House comes to questions for oral answer question number one. The name of Matilda Ture.
Tēnā koe, Mr. Speaker. Tēnā koe, Jai Te Whare. Happy birthday, Prime Minister. Oh. You've got to be polite. Point of order, Mr. Speaker. Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Order. Point of order, Matilda Ture.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I seek leave to have this question transferred back to the Prime Minister to whom it was originally directed.
No. Order. Order. And I've ruled on this matter many times. I'm not prepared to put the leave. It is the prerogative of the government to determine who is best to answer the question. The member can proceed if she wishes. Otherwise, I'm happy to move to question number two.
Mr. Speaker.
Question number one, Matilda Ture.
My question is to the Minister for Building and Housing and Arts. How many years will it take for a median-priced Auckland house to be affordable at 3 to 4 times the median Auckland household income, with Auckland house prices growing almost 6 times faster than wages?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nick Smith.
Mr. Speaker, the ratio of incomes to house prices is too simplistic and ignores the impact of interest rates that are at 40-year lows of 4.5%. House prices have never been 3 or 4 time incomes with interest rates this low. There are too many unknowns, like what interest rates will be in the future, to state what future ratios of house price and incomes will be.
Supplementary.
Order. Can I just have a little less interjection, please? Supplementary question, Matilda Ture.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Does the Minister agree that for houses to be more affordable, the gap between house prices and incomes needs to reduce?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nick Smith.
Mr. Speaker, that's just part of the equation. Of course, having the lowest interest rates in more than 40 years actually makes housing much more affordable than the 10.5% that they were when National came to government. This government is also committed to growing incomes. And that's why, for instance, we've had to increase the income caps on our Home Start scheme, because my colleagues are doing such a good job of growing the economy and growing wages.
Supplementary question, Matilda Ture.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What was the Auckland median house price to income ratio when he became the Minister of Building and Housing 3 years ago, and what is it now?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nick Smith.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have those exact figures on me, but what's interesting is that the ratio of income to house price is less nationally than what it was when National became government.
Supplementary question, David Seymour.
Is the House to take it that the current high ratio of house prices to incomes is high purely because interest rates are low?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nixon.
No. House prices are affected by a significant number of factors. One of the most important in Auckland is that a metropolitan urban limit and bad planning policies have made it very difficult for new houses to be built. And that is why this government is putting so much work into reforming the RMA, something that the Green Party has consistently opposed, and opposed the very policies that will make houses more affordable in a city like Auckland.
Supplementary question, David Seymour.
What then would be housing affordability by the Minister's measure if interest rates were to return to, say, 8% as they were less than a decade ago?
Oh, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nixon.
Mr. Speaker, I give credibility to the independent indexes around housing affordability produced both by Massey University and interest.co.nz. They spit the limit at which a portion of an average person's income is spent on a mortgage. And the sort of affordable range for those is about 35%. That is not where it is in Auckland, and that's why we have work to do.
Order. Order. Supplementary question, Right Honourable Winston Peters.
Minister, he and his colleagues are doing such a great job to grow the economy. How come senior economists now say that extracting mass immigration and consumption sees the growth rate at less than 0.5%? And how will such a non-productive export economy failure provide the housing in the future?
Oh, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nixon.
Mr. Speaker, I trust those that vote with their feet. Record numbers of people are voting with their feet, particularly returning New Zealanders to this country because it is doing well. And I challenge that member to state a Western economy that is doing better than the New Zealand economy.
Supplementary question, Speaker.
Supplementary question, David Seymour.
Can the Minister confirm that mortgage interest rates hit 11% in each of the periods 1996 to 1999 and 2005 to 2008? And can he identify any common factor in those two periods?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nick Smith, either
Mr.
of those.
Mr. Speaker, it is correct that interest rates were very high, particularly during the term of the last government, and that drove housing affordability in the years 2006, 7 and 8 to the worst levels ever under those independent measures. And despite the high house prices that we have now in all regions of New Zealand, by those independent indexes that measure and include interest rates, housing is surprisingly more affordable than when we became to government.
Supplementary question, Andrew Bailey.
Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Minister. What was the core reason identified by the Productivity Commission for the sustained rise in house prices in Auckland since 2000? And what is the government doing to address this problem?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nick Smith.
The Productivity Commission identified the core problem was restrictive planning policies from fragmented councils that consistently blocked new housing developments. That is one of the reasons why the government merged the Auckland councils and provided a streamlined process for a new Auckland plan that is close to completion. And I do note that both the Green and Labor parties opposed that streamlined process for a new unitary plan. That core work has been complemented in the short term by special housing areas and in the long term by the National Policy Statement on Urban Development and the government's RMA reforms.
Supplementary question, Right Honourable Winston Peters.
Why is the Minister blaming everybody but the government and himself for a result which sees us building less houses now than we built 42, four fewer, many less, fewer? Call it what you like. It's a crisis, Sunshine. I think 42 years ago, building less houses now than we built 42 years ago.
Order. The question's been asked.
No, no,
the question
no.
Can be asked.
Point of order, Speaker.
Order.
I haven't got to the punchline yet.
No, well, the member will have to wait. Order. The member will have to order. The member will have to wait and use another supplementary question and be far more concise.
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nick Smith.
Mr. Speaker, when I became Minister of Building and Housing, New Zealand was building 14,000 houses per year. The latest figure is that we are building more than double that, 29,000 houses per year. The main crisis that I hear in the building industry is a shortage of skills, and that's why the government's investing in record apprentices. Only a blind man would not recognise the building boom underway in New Zealand right now.
Order. Supplementary question, Andrew Bailey.
What impact would a policy of halving house prices in Auckland have on ordinary New Zealanders?
The Honourable Dr. Nick Smith.
A policy of the government directly halving house prices in Auckland would have a devastating impact on hundreds of thousands of Auckland families that would be left in negative equity. This policy from the Greens was rejected by Labor and shows their MOU is already in tatters.
Order. Question. Order. Question number two, Alfred Nardo.
It's Manawita Whakawa.
Mr. Speaker, to the Minister of Finance, what is the outlook for economic growth given elevated business and consumer finance, rising export values and higher consumer spending?
The Honourable Bill English.
Mr. Speaker, in the last month we've seen a range of measures that point to some strength and resilience in the New Zealand economy despite ongoing international uncertainty. Our business and consumer confidence to continue to run above long-run averages, supporting business investment and consumer spending. Firms are reporting relatively high capacity utilisation. Residential construction and commercial construction intentions are high and rising. The most recent business outlook survey from the ANZ shows a net 16% of firms are optimistic. ANZ also reports advertised jobs are up 9% over the past year.
Supplementary question, Alfred Nardo.
What are some of the main drivers of economic growth?
The Honourable Bill English.
Mr. Speaker, what we are seeing in the recent data is reasonably broad-based economic growth. Both volumes and values of exports are rising, with 7 of 10 export categories increasing in value in the June quarter. Overall, the trade balance is around $1 billion better than expected. New Zealand received 3.3 million visitor arrivals in the year to June, a new record, up 11% in the year. And the manufacturing sector is growing, with the most recent performance of manufacturing index showing reasonable growth.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Alfred Nardo.
What other sectors are supporting growth and jobs through increasing exports as part of building New Zealand's broad-based, resilient economy?
The Honourable Bill English.
Mr. Speaker, growth across a range of exports is fairly positive. For instance, ICT exports have more than doubled since 2008 to $930 million per year and now employ 23,000 more people in the last 5 years. Horticulture exports are up 17% over the last 3 years to $4 billion. Horticulture is now employing 9,000 more people than 5 years ago, a 15% increase.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Alfred Nardo.
How is business confidence in the building and construction sector translating to more houses where they are most needed?
The Honourable Bill English.
Mr. Speaker, the ANZ reports confidence in the construction sector, particularly the residential construction, is very high, with a net 57% of firms reporting a positive outlook for growth in their own activity. Employment and investment intentions in the construction sector are both strongly positive. This is consistent with confidence at a reasonable level across the wider business sector.
Supplementary question, Right Honourable Winston Peters.
Minister, when he was asked about the biggest driver of economic growth, why did he not refer to what the Reserve Bank, Treasury, other banks and people like Harry Macdonald are saying, that the biggest driver is mass immigration, which cannot be sustained?
The Honourable Bill English.
Mr. Speaker, because the member is not correct. If he breaks down the immigration numbers, he will see that the biggest single influence is that New Zealanders have stopped leaving. 4 years ago, there was an outflow of 39,000 to Australia. This year, there was a net inflow of 2,000, and we regard that as success. The member seems to think he should boot them out to try and drop house prices.
Order. Question number three, Andrew Little.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Order. Andrew Little.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Prime Minister. Does he have confidence in the Minister for Building and Housing, given that after 3 years in the job and numerous policies that were supposed to make housing more affordable, he now says it's probably not a good time for a young family to buy and they should be patient?
Speaker.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, yes, I'm pleased that the member acknowledges the Minister has advanced numerous policies as part of the government's comprehensive housing plan.
They include, Mr Speaker, a new $1 billion housing infrastructure fund, over 210 special housing areas for 70,000 new homes, an expanded Home Start scheme for first home buyers, the National Policy Statement on Urban Development, RMA reform, a raft of extra tax measures, new unitary planning for Auckland, more tools for the Reserve Bank, independent urban development authorities for areas of high housing need. By any definition, that is a comprehensive housing plan.
Supplementary.
Comprehensively useless.
Order. Andrew Little, supplementary question.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. In light of that answer and moving on from good intentions, does he agree it's a bad time for young families to buy, especially given Bill English's estimate that only 500 affordable homes were built in Auckland last year?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, I think what the point the Ministers have been making is it's important for every person that buys a house to consider all the factors and to do so with their eyes open. We have interest rates that are at a 60-year low. Of course, we have a very strong economy with strong wage growth, and that makes it more affordable. But house prices do go down as well as going up, and I think it is important that people just are observant of those facts.
Supplementary.
Order. Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Given Auckland house prices have doubled on his watch from $496,000 to $992,000, does he now accept the average Auckland house is out of reach for most families?
The Speaker. Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, no. Speaker, if you look at the year to 31 March 2016, in Auckland there were 31,963 sales. In the under 600,000 category of existing homes, there were over 30%, 9,638. And for under 650,000 new houses, there were 11,842 constructed, 37% of sales.
So why do they have to be patients if it's so good?
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
After 8 years, why has he failed to stabilise house prices and build enough affordable houses?
That's right. The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, as I said to the House before, the early part of the term of this government, there wasn't strong demand for housing, but because of the economic program of the government, we've now seen New Zealanders returning from overseas. We've seen New Zealanders not leaving. And on the back of all of that, we are actually seeing the biggest housing boom in New Zealand's history. Mr Speaker, an enormous number of houses are being built. And yes, of course, it's taking some time to work its way through the system. It's not unique, I should say. If one looks around the world at cities like Melbourne and Sydney and London and Dubai and New York and many others, they're also experiencing quite high house price increases.
Supplementary question, Tim McIndoe.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. To the Prime Minister, how is the government's comprehensive housing plan translating into new houses? How is the plan translating into new houses around New Zealand where they are needed most?
Mr Speaker.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, we're now in the middle of the biggest housing boom New Zealand has seen. We're on track to build 85,000 houses across New Zealand in this term of Parliament alone.
I apologise for interrupting, but the level of noise now coming from my left is at a level where I'm going to have to deal with it rather severely. I don't mind some interjection, but just because members may not like a question or like an answer, it doesn't need to lead to a constant barrage coming from my immediate left. The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, the construction industry is the biggest it's ever been. Around 40,000 more people working in the sector than 2 years ago. In the year to June, residential building consents increased 16% to over 29,000, the highest for a June year since 2004. So the government's comprehensive plan is boosting housing supply, and we need to build on this good momentum.
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Why is Auckland City 40,000 houses behind what it needs to accommodate today's population?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, primarily actually because of bad planning rules, I think, around Auckland. But the good news is those planning rules are about to be reformed under the new Auckland Unitary Plan.
Order. Order. Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Rather than hoping that the problem will fix itself, isn't it time that he got off his backside and he and his government got him behind Kiwis who want to own their own home and just built some bloody houses?
Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, the only person's in hope is Andrew Little, who hopes one day he'll poll higher than Winston Peters.
Order. Supplementary question. Order. Supplementary question, Tim McIntyre.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. What reports has the Prime Minister seen about whether alternative approaches would succeed in controlling house price inflation?
Speaker, the Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, I've seen one report which was completely inconclusive about its chances of controlling house price inflation. It said, and I quote, "It's hard to be specific about that." That was, of course, Andrew Little on his pipe dream of building 100,000 houses for just $2 billion.
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Why does he think the majority of New Zealanders now back Labor's Kiwi Build plan to stabilise house prices and build 100,000 affordable homes for families to buy?
Order. The Mr. Right Speaker, Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, a soundbite does not make a plan. Mr Speaker, 100. If the best New Zealand can do is 100,000 houses over 10 years, then we're in serious trouble, because this government will see 100,000 constructed over 4 years.
Supplementary.
Order. Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Isn't this the truth? Has half-baked policies, has bumbling Minister of Housing and all the hollow promises won't solve the housing crisis, that he leads an arrogant and out-of-touch government that has given up on the Kiwi dream of home ownership?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, no. Mr Speaker, if one looks at the activity that's taking place, the enormous amount of action that we're actually seeing, and actually the inaction that we saw in the 9 years of the previous Labor government, then we can actually see a credible plan to more houses being built. And that's the reason why most New Zealanders actually can see that that is working. Of course, it's going to take some time, but that is a factor that we're working our way through.
Order. Supplementary query. Order. Order. Mr Twyford, please, less interjection from you specifically. Matilia Touray, supplementary question.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. To the Prime Minister, does he agree that for homes to be more affordable for families, the gap between house prices and incomes needs to reduce?
Speaker.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, as the Minister of Housing said earlier in the House today, that is a factor, but there are many other factors, including interest rates. But, Mr Speaker, one thing I will say is that if house prices in New Zealand were to halve, that is the war on the poor, because it is the poorest New Zealanders that, in percentage terms, borrow the most against their houses. Matilia Touray has been telling New Zealanders, and the opposition is supporting her, that halving house prices will actually see the poorest New Zealanders have all of their equity eliminated. That is a war on the poor.
Supplementary.
Order. Supplementary question. Order. Supplementary question, Matilia Touray.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. Given that house prices are rising more than 10% nationwide, but Treasury predicts a wage growth at less than 3%, when does he expect that housing will become more affordable for families in Auckland?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, firstly, there's a number of factors. Firstly, very low interest rates, actually stronger real wage growth than we've seen for a very long period of time, and strong employment markets actually are supporting young people and actually people across the board to be able to afford housing. That is the reality, that they've got the confidence of doing that. One of the reasons why more people are interested in buying houses in New Zealand, is, and particularly in Auckland, is because they do feel that confidence in the Auckland market.
Question number 5. Andrew Little.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. My question is to the Prime Minister. Does he stand by his statement that threats of trade retaliation by China, if New Zealand investigates substandard Chinese steel imports, are unsubstantiated rumours given his government has been discussing that threat with China since May.
Honourable Prime Minister.
Yes, every time the issue of possible retaliatory action against our exports have been raised, New Zealand has sought and received assurances from China.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Was the government's decision not to investigate substandard Chinese steel imports connected to trade threats from China, or is that just a coincidence?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, I'm not aware of a decision the government's made in regard to that.
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Is it just another coincidence our kiwi fruit exports are now blocked from China after Chinese threats of trade retaliations if we investigate their steel dumping?
The Speaker, Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, my understanding is that the issue holding up imports into China of zestberry kiwi fruit is a technical matter. It's a technical matter related to some rot that was found on fruit that was imported some weeks earlier. My understanding is that zestberry have voluntarily decided not to export the fruit because they are going through now a pre-examination process that will ensure that when they restart the exports to China that they are rot-free.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
Why is it acceptable for China to ban New Zealand exports for containing a fungus that poses no health hazard and has been present on our kiwi fruit exports to China for years?
Speaker,
the Right Honourable Prime Minister.
The member is Leader of the Opposition, and on the basis of that, he has some responsibility at least to get the facts vaguely correct. The facts are that zestberry voluntarily stopped sending exports for about a week of kiwi fruit to China. They have not been banned by the Chinese.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Andrew Little.
How has he let the relationship with China get to the point where they are allowed to send us shoddy steel, but we can't send them top quality kiwi fruit?
Order. The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
The member is just making this stuff up. He does himself a disservice.
Question. Order. Question number six. Right Honourable Winston Peters.
Speaker, this question is to the Prime Minister and asks, does he stand by all his statements? If so, how?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, yes, and by celebrating my birthday by having such a wonderful working relationship with the member.
Oh, so he's become delusional as well, eh? He's become totally delusional all of a sudden.
Supplementary question, Right Honourable Winston Peters.
Prime Minister, in Northland, which of the 10 double-lane bridges he promised is under construction? How many metres of the Puhoi Warkworth Highway promised 7 years ago, or metres of the Warkworth Wilsford Highway promised 17 months ago, have been constructed? And how many cell towers have been built as promised by Stephen Joyce and himself 17 months ago?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have all of those details with me, but if the member spent a bit more time going around his electorate, he'd probably see it.
That's the problem, I can't see them.
Order.
I've been there more times in 1 month than the whole time he's been the MP for Ellensville, mate.
Order.
That's a fact.
Order.
And that's a fact.
Order.
Winston Peters there with questions to the Prime Minister. Question time was followed by the resumption of the 12-hour estimates debate. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for ParliamentToday.co.nz with funding from Parliament.